I think we should definitely ask those questions of the staff and the regulators, because I think you hinted at what my understanding is, but we need to make sure that it's my understanding is correct. There are regulatory limitations, and there are also potential limitations we can put on it, and there are triggers that we can also put on it if we wanted to. But in terms of, from a landowner perspective, I'm not sure that he might have all the details of how to do that. Thank you, sir. Sir.
Hi, good evening, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Matt Hugart. I'm with Kittleson and Associates. We prepared the traffic impact study for this application on behalf of Recology. I wanted to make a few points here this evening to clarify some misconceptions and expand upon a couple of things that have been discussed. In the opponent's appeal, there was an assertion that the traffic counts that we conducted for our analysis were inadequate to support this traffic study itself. As you heard from city staff earlier this evening, the traffic counts were conducted on two midweek days, which is consistent with industry practice. We did look at those counts and determined that there were no anomalies or unusual traffic patterns. And as such, we concluded, and so did staff, that the traffic counts were sufficient to support the study. The second thing I wanted to point out was the trip generation that we developed for this site. As Mr. Dutra of Recology pointed out, the site itself is limited in its ability to accommodate this organic food waste. The amount of trips and associated truck traffic that we assumed is reflective of that. We do consider it to be a conservative analysis based on the information that was provided to us. All of the facilities, transportation facilities within the area have been found to have the ability to accommodate the additional truck trips. With regards to the spring water corridor, I think some testimony was provided tonight that the amount of truck traffic that this site would generate would not be conducive or would not overlap with the peak bicycle and pedestrian traffic that currently occurs on the spring water corridor, and we have traffic counts included in our study that support that. So in conclusion, we found and do believe that the traffic impacts associated with the site can be accommodated and that there are no detrimental impacts. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. Hi, welcome.
Hi. So my name is Alex Shea, and I've been living in the Lentz neighborhood since 2003, about 2 miles west of the site. I visited the site. In the interest of full disclosure, I have a business that involves greenhouse gas emissions, renewable energy, waste energy, that sort of thing. And it's in that context that I met Chris Choate and some of the other folks from Recology and got to know them over the course of more than a year while working with the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District on issues around making higher and better use of food waste. You know, we're shifting the whole paradigm associated with management of food waste from regional collection and long haul to Arlington Landfill or to the composting facility at Cedar Grove to local connection with short haul to a regional composting facility. So we're taking all the right steps. We're going in the right direction from sort of an extractive use of food waste where none of the value, the energy that's built up in food waste is taken advantage of, to a shorter distance, lower carbon footprint transportation model where the food waste is actually put to a good end-of-life use. In getting to know the folks at Recology over the course of the past year, I've found them to be responsible and reputable. I think that they've, based on what I've heard, they've taken the steps to mitigate what I would regard as very legitimate concerns in terms of vermin, in terms of transportation, in terms of odors. I know from the industry that I'm in that they have a good reputation in the Bay Area with the East Bay Mud Facility. I do not have a business relationship with Recology, nor does my firm have a financial interest in this project. but I have gotten to know the guys over the course of the past year, so I have visited the site, and I think that these are the kinds of steps that Portland needs to take to make better use of food waste. It's something that I've been committed to for quite some time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you guys might have.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all for your testimony. Really appreciate it. Do we have anyone else?
The last two who signed up are Carrie Stanley and Roy Hatcher.
Mr. Thatcher, Mr. Stanley?
Mr. Stanley.
Okay, is Mr. Ms. Thatcher, sorry.
Stanley.
Somebody named Thatcher.
Roy Hatcher.
Hatcher. Hatcher. All right, going once, twice, three times. You're it, Mr. Stanley.
Final. All right.
Thanks for your patience.
You're welcome. My name is Kerry Stanley. I'm with an acoustical engineer with Daly Stanley and Associates. And I'm here to talk to you about the noise that will be associated with this operation. From a noise standpoint, this location is probably the best you could probably find because it's an industrial location. It's already occupied by many facilities, many operations that have the same kind of equipment that will be used in this operation being proposed. We were asked because the appeal said that an adequate study wasn't done to address the noise, even though the study, the application originally just said that noise would be comparable to what's already out there. That was asked to do a study, and we went out, did measurements at the facility, existing facility. We did measurements near the neighborhood, and I think you have a copy of the report there with you. What I wanted to point out to you was, on the last page of that report, if you can flip over to that, if you've got that readily, has that been passed out to you? It's just a picture of the sound levels that were measured near the residences. And you can see basically what the situation is out there. The levels are controlled by I-205 traffic and by local traffic that is basically going by on Southeast Knapp Road. Or Knapp Street there. And the you can see what we've identified within the data, things that happened on the site. There are quite a few, like I said, other operations that have trucks. The CMEX concrete batch plant is right next door to the Recology facility. That's on the east side. On the west side, there's the Oregon Pallet, where they have a excavator used for moving material around. They also have, there is a concrete batching, just a small concrete batching plant adjacent to the east side of the Recology. While we were doing our measurements, we observed those trucks with their backup beepers operating, the front end loaders operating over there on the, at that facility had a backup beeper. So there were, you would not be able to distinguish. In fact, there was one truck that came in during that 20-minute measurement that started backing in to the Recology facility. You could barely hear that particular backup beeper because it goes into the building fairly quickly and it's muted. So the study results show that there you'll meet all the city and state noise regulations and shouldn't be a problem. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you for staying to give your expert testimony. That's very helpful.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. So we will now hear from the appellant, 5-minute summary with potential questions. You know that.
Mayor Adams, commissioners, I appreciate your time and patience today in listening carefully to the evidence that's been presented before you. Before I review what you've heard and what you haven't heard, Ms. Sharp is going to respond to the question that Mayor Adams raised about specific state standards that would apply to the analysis in this manner. Ms. Sharp?
I refer you to Title 33, the Planning and Zoning Code. As to an operating scenario, 33-254-040, where's the operating plan for the site? I heard that it's been submitted to DEQ and Metro, but it's not in this record, and that is one of your criteria. A complete nuisance mitigation plan for litter, vectors, dust, and noise. 33254060, also OAR34096004040. There is no nuisance mitigation plan in your record. Noise impacts, we just heard Mr. Stanley's testimony, and we were handed a report dated July 11. Before that time, there was no indication of any noise standards in the record. That's 33262050. There's no groundwater study for potential direct pathway impacts to the shallow groundwater table in Johnson Creek by the below-ground proposed leachate collection system, 33815220. There are no engineering specifications, calculations, or design parameters as to the system's adequacy to meet the standards narrative nuisance odor standards, 33262070, 33815220. There are no engineering specifications, calculations, or design parameters as to the subsurface leachate collection system, 33254040, 33815220. There's no method or system proposed to prevent track out of food waste liquids outside of the building where it would commingle with stormwater, 33815220. I also would like to clarify the odor standard because that was a question that Commissioner Fritz had inquired as to the city. The odor standard is 33262070. Continuous, frequent, or repetitive odors may not be produced. The odor threshold is the point at which an odor may just be detected. An odor detected for less than 15 minutes per day is exempt. Applicant has no information whatsoever that they will meet that odor standard.
Thank you. And I think that's a good point to start to summarize where we are. What's telling here is what you heard, and what's telling here is what you did not hear. Let's take what you heard initially. I heard the recology testimony. I think the words were not anticipate seven times. I heard we haven't submitted any further studies or plans because we haven't been through the process yet with the city. I saw diagrams presented to you and testimony that the hearings officer and the staff had available to them, diagrams and drawings. Councilors, Mr. Mayor, look at the city file. It's got nothing in it. We attach it Exhibit H, the one diagram submitted to the staff. Now, it's not fair to staff to say, judge something on a record that's this devoid of any information. And that's what you heard today. You heard admissions from Recology that, well, we haven't done that yet because we haven't gotten through the city process. It's your job, and the citizens count on you to make sure that the code is applied. And just simply saying, oh, we'll get to it later, which is basically what Recology testified to today, is simply unacceptable. You heard Mr. Our expert, Mr. Segula, tell you why their record is so weak. And at the end of the day, that's what you're here to judge on, is the record. The record has nothing in it, and these are serious issues. Both Commissioner Leonard, Commissioner Saltzman, and Commissioner Fritz, you've all honed in on critical issues. The catch-22 here is you expect this process to grow. Well, you don't want a problem that's made worse over time by your own success. And that's why Metro has the standards that it has. It's why, and what you didn't hear, why this is very different from Metro Central. Commissioner Fritz, you asked the question. You heard Recology say Metro Central is the same as this. No, it's not. Metro Central takes everybody's regular garbage, bagged up, and takes it to a transfer station. This will be raw, open, exposed food waste, taken at a rate of 20% as per the pilot program in the month of January, and mixed in an open forum. It's very, very different. At the end of the day, we don't need this here. And if you open this door, you may be hurt by your own success. And you have the capability, as per Metro, to deal with the capacity. Metro's own report, as we've submitted, indicated that they have 50% capacity. They have plenty of capacity to handle this. It's a great program, and I commend you for doing it. It needs to be done in the right place. Thank you.
Questions before you take off?
Sure. Any questions or discussion from council?
Could you please submit that list of the approval criteria?
Yes. In fact, we had that, and we meant to do that exact thing.
Thank you very much.
We'll be happy to.
Very nicely done.
Thanks for your
testimony.
Can we have staff come back up here?
Thank you.
Or staff come up here? as our staff, is there any, Commissioner Lehner, did you have questions?
I did. So the applicant said that there were physical limitations that precluded the site from accepting any more waste than what they agreed to. Can you speak to that?
Yes. In the zoning code's conditional use chapter, the code says that when we evaluate and review conditional uses, the decision or the approval is based on the level of activity, the size, the amount of intensity that is evaluated and approved. So, for example, with this decision, we're approving a facility that tells us it will have 35 truckloads, garbage trucks coming in, et cetera, or 110 vehicle trips generated. That's what was approved. The zoning code says that the applicants must come back for another review if they exceed that threshold by more than 10%, and that's through a Type 3 review. So, again, it would be a public hearing. What you perhaps could consider in considering this decision is, are there additional parameters or thresholds that the decision should specifically include in the decision? For example, the amount of tons, the number of trips, the percentage of wet to dry material, the hours of operations. Those elements could also be defined in the decision, and therefore it sets the limits and tells the city and the applicant when another review would be required if the facility wants to expand or is, again, very successful.
I appreciate that answer, but the question I was asking is, are there inherently physical attributes to the facility that prohibits it from accepting any more waste?
No, not that we know of.
Thank you. And so if their estimate of trips ends up being more than what the basis for the permit were, what is it that we do that flags to us that the property is being used more for more volumes of waste than what it is we thought we were approving?
This would be like most zoning code compliance issues. It would be complaint generated. Staff would be called out to verify if these certain parameters were missed or violated. There would have to be the documentation, and then we would go through the code enforcement process.
And so the testimony from the applicant was that they would gather waste food from southeast, and it sounded like possibly even beyond. So underlying the assumption of the number of trips generated, did you do any calculation as to what the potential amount could be of product that could come there versus what they said they were going to take?
No, staff did not challenge or question what their application told us. This was the program they were proposing and the level of activity that was proposed and evaluated.
Thank you. We've heard there wasn't an operating plan submitted. Is that accurate?
There weren't specific separate pages or reports that spoke to an operating plan or a nuisance mitigation plan, but the narrative provided, the explanation provided by the applicant in writing and in testimony at the hearing met the submittal requirements, and therefore staff recommended approval, and as well as the hearings officer found that the information was adequate to render a decision.
And then finally, the 15 minutes of odor, I'm a little confused about what that means. Does that mean that at any one time in a 24-hour period there can be no more than 15 minutes of odor, or does that mean within a 24-hour period there can be an accumulative amount of no more than 15 minutes of odor?
What the zoning code says is it's a continuous 15 minutes of odor detected.
So that I'm clear about that, could there possibly be every hour 14 minutes of odor for 24 hours, and that would be within the zoning code?
Yes, that type of project would be exempt from the requirements, yes.
Thank you. I've found this whole hearing extremely helpful. I think on all sides I've heard a lot of interesting and compelling information, and I'm going to be looking forward to comments in the record on each other's testimony and indeed your expert assessment, particularly on the approval criteria, which were stated were not met. I'd like to get your staff advice. The burden of proof is on the applicant to prove that the approval criteria are met. Do we have anybody on staff who's technically qualified to check on to assess the technical aspects of the odor control or the vermin control system?
I can pursue that. We have technical staff, of course, who can evaluate the source control component that's regulated by the Bureau of Environmental Services. We do have BDS has a code compliance division that can help us and guide us with determining how odor is monitored and detected, et cetera. We can offer that kind of information to you.
I was thinking more about the pipe system, the reverse air system, the water containment. Do we have the technical ability to know whether the burden of proof has been met?
The elements such as the catch basins and the containment are reviewed through the building permit review process. So there is city staff that intend to look at that via the building permit. So I'll put myself out there and say, yes, I think we do. We can offer feedback.
That would be very helpful, yes, to me. Obviously, I think this is a very technical question as to whether the specifications are going to do what the code and the approval criteria require. So that's something that I'll be looking for in the record, and I really appreciate your assistance.
Sure.
Commissioner Saltzman?
I guess just to follow up on that last point, I mean, we're not going to ever see, I mean, BDS, Bureau of Development Services, will see detailed operational plan, detailed odor control, but we as a council are never going to see that prior to making a final decision on this. Isn't that correct?
Unless you expect it to be submitted, because this is an evidentiary hearing, more information can be supplied by the applicant as well as the appellant and staff, if you so desire.
Following up on that point, I heard the applicant's attorney say that there would be a week to add more information than a week for rebuttal. So I'd like the staff to make that assessment in the rebuttal period.
If I could ask that after the close of the open record, whatever time you decide that is appropriate, it would be wonderful if you gave staff an additional 2 weeks to offer feedback and further guidance, if you will, to council. Then, of course, after we submit our information, the applicants would get final rebuttal, a period of final rebuttal.
So I seem to hear from Recology that they don't want to submit detailed plans until they know they've got the land use approval, because they don't want to spend, presumably, the time and effort and money to do that. So I guess I'm standing by my point is, whether it's 4 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now, it's going to be that long before we give a final approval or disapproval, I guess. We don't have another bite of the apple. We're never going to see the building permit and all the detailed plans.
I think they've offered to provide us apples with spot checks, which we don't often get an applicant to agree in perpetuity to have unscheduled checks against what we agree to in terms of operationally. In terms of development leading up to Metro and DEQ, where they have to get an agreement from them as well, we do have the ability, they've with the record being open, that does give them a certain amount of time to come in seeking to satisfy any concerns we have, to show us how they might fulfill everything from, and also to put in as a stipulation hours of operation, maximum amount of tonnage, the number, maximum number of trips, how they would interact with the association, What are the elements of a good neighbor agreement? They have successfully pursued, and I understand, got agreement from the Cathedral Park, St. John's, North Portland Neighborhood Association on a good neighbor agreement. Things like the flood control plan, the inspections, no access on Knapp Road. The neighborhood rightfully has concerns about this, and you know, I think that level of detail and expectation is totally appropriate. I realize we're not used to doing that, but it's definitely within our ability and within our authority to do so.
Well, I should share that I have a fundamental concern with the application. There's a contradiction between what the applicant testified to in terms of the physical capacity of the building to process food waste and what staff has just said, that there is not. There might be code limitations, but not physical limitations. There are distinctions that are important, I think, between this particular site and the Settle Road site and the Eon site, in that the adjoining neighborhoods are distinctly farther than the adjoining neighborhoods in this particular site. This is an industrial site, to be sure, and one that I have long proposed active use on, to be sure. I'm not sure this is the appropriate type of use for this particular site for a variety of reasons, which includes that contradiction and also I'm, you know, in sitting here and trying to think of what the conditions are, Perjoli's testimony helped me realize that while the staff judged this application based on what was submitted, appropriately so, I think the council's job is to base the application as it is before us and not try to perfect the application for the applicant. I think there are a variety of concerns, including the lack of a good neighbor agreement and others, that need to be addressed before I could support this application.
Well, I think that the concerns expressed, I'm not sure, I don't necessarily agree that I heard contradictions. I did hear a difference of agreement about what constitutes things such as a vector, nuisance, noise, mitigation.
Can I address that?
There were disagreements about what that is. We get to decide what we think is adequate in terms of those matters. It is, we've done in the past, as we've done in the past, we've left open the record and allowed people to address any sort of shortcomings in an application in the past. In terms of concerns about, you know, this becoming wildly successful, you know, if it is wildly successful in this part of town, if it's wildly successful in whatever trips this part of town has served, we're going to limit how much of the overall effort is served by this one facility. I'm not comfortable with leaving open. I'm not comfortable moving this forward without those limitations.
So to be crystal clear, I agree with you, Mayor Adams, that there's no contradiction about vector control. There's no contradiction about whether or not this is in a floodplain. That was not my point. I asked a specific question of the applicant, and that was what would prohibit you from expanding this operation on the site from what is proposed. And the answer given was the size of the building and the property would limit my ability to do that. And it's inherent in the property. The staff said that's not accurate. What limits the ability of the applicant to expand the size of the property are the underlying assumptions that were made to grant the approval in the first place. That's a huge contradiction in my view.
Well, the great thing about being a member of the city council is we get to establish the final parameters in which a business like this can operate. So whether or not people were consistent throughout the various points of this process or in the question and answers, everyone understood fully what was exactly being asked or answered. We are vested with the authority to say hours of operation, amount of tonnage, number of trips, and appropriately so, having spot checks by our folks who know what to look for, logs that have to be kept according to state and metro rules. Those contradictions, if they exist, we get to settle.
And in the ideal world, that's exactly what would happen. Unfortunately, I has of late been the commissioner in charge of BDS, which Commissioner Saltzman has now, and know that we've had to suspend a number of inspections based on complaints due to staff shortages, due to layoffs, and I just anticipate a problem that could exist with the follow-up you're describing, which should happen, but we are limited to enforce the code at times because of funding shortages. So I just see that as a potential huge problem.
I don't, because of the vigilance, and appropriately so, of the neighborhoods that surround this. And we don't mandate these kinds of regular spot checks as a matter of course, and this can be prioritized. So this isn't like other areas that we have had to cut back on, and it can be prioritized, and it should be.
Mayor, I share several of Commissioner Leonard's concerns, and I have two process questions because I'm still waiting to get the more evidence that I think all sides will be sending in for the city attorney. Could we, as a condition of approval, put on a binding good neighbor agreement that would give neighbors a quicker resource than the code enforcement process?
Explain to me exactly how you would see that operating.
I'm not exactly sure, but I know that in many good neighbor agreements, they're more aspirational, and that the conditions that are in the good neighbor agreement don't allow an appeal even to the code hearings officer. And I'm wondering if we could craft something that would get quicker access back to the city council in the event that the good neighbor agreement was not kept.
The purpose of conditions of approval is to ensure that the approval criteria can be satisfied. So if you can tie the requirement of a binding good neighbor agreement to ongoing satisfaction of the approval criteria, potentially, yes, you could impose that condition. I think it would depend on how it's worded and how it would operate.
Thank you. And if we had a week to hold the record open and a week for rebuttal and 2 weeks for staff assessment of the new information, and then potentially an approval with revised conditions or potentially a denial, would we need, if we were to have a hearing with revised conditions, Would we be required to have a hearing on the revised conditions, or would it be council only?
I don't believe you would necessarily be required to hold a hearing. You might want to allow people an opportunity to comment on the revised conditions, and maybe as part of structuring sort of the open record period and rebuttal period, you would want to have any proposed conditions submitted during that period of time so that when you come back, you have conditions that you are picking and choosing from.
Okay. I think an open hearing is
question fine. For Sheila.
Did you get here before I do that?
Yeah, thank you.
Before the council adjourns this hearing, I do want to talk a little bit about timing of the open record period and the rebuttal period, because I've heard some concerns from staff about 1 week being insufficient amount of time, depending on what kind of technical review you want staff to conduct. So I'd like to revisit that with you before we can.
Why don't we get Commissioner Saltzman first?
So, Sheila, I thought I heard in Recology's testimony that there's not a 35-trip limit in our condition of approval, but that's what they intend to seek from DEQ and Metro?
I think that might have been a mistake. The proposal specifically told us the number of vehicle trips, the number of trucks coming to the site, and that's what was evaluated. And therefore, that's one of those parameters that needs to be capped, or if exceeded beyond 10%, it's subject to another requirement for another conditional use review.
Okay. And then, thank you.
So, Catherine, you were going to explain?
The applicant has requested 1 week for an open record period, and then an additional week for people to respond to information submitted during the open record period. Some of the council members have indicated there was at least a proposal made that staff conduct a more technical level review of some of the issues that have been raised or some of the information submitted. If the council as a whole wants staff to do that, 1 week is insufficient time. According to staff. So one possibility, I think you need to decide whether you want that technical review. If you do, then I think what you may need to do is 2 week periods, 2 weeks to hold the record open, 2 weeks for rebuttal, and then a council continued council hearing after that.
Are folks okay with that?
Well, does staff need more time if that time grows? Do you need more than 2 weeks after?
2 weeks would leave you, would take you to July 27th for the initial period. So 2 weeks for rebuttal would take you to August 10th.
Go ahead and come on up, both of you.
So I would.
I just want to hear back from staff first.
Sure. I think
you asked for
council
2 weeks.
Would like us to respond to all new information that's submitted. Therefore, we would like whatever time frame you give us, and hopefully it's at least 2 weeks, we would like that after the close of the record to then develop our feedback and further guidance, staff guidance.
If, because we don't know exactly what will come in the first 2 weeks, do we have the ability to, at the end of that time, if staff needs more time, do we have the time to extend it or not?
You do. The difficulty is if staff is going to be submitting an evaluation, that in a sense is new evidence. So I think staff needs to adhere to the same time periods as all the other parties.
So,
sir,
before we go,
I want to take care of this little time issue, and then before we decide anything, I'll recognize you, I promise.
Mr. Mayor, Mike Robinson, again, on behalf of the applicant, we're fine with a two-week period. As I said, we've waived the 120-day clock, so you're not facing a clock issue. It's strictly a matter of convenience for the parties, staff, and the city council. But let me make a suggestion. Maybe what might make sense is a two-week period for all parties to submit argument, and then give staff 2 weeks to look at that and submit their own report, and then a two-week rebuttal period so the parties have a chance not only to look at what the other parties submitted, but to respond to the staff. And if your city attorney suggested that you come back to a continued hearing after receiving that information, that's fine with us.
Is that fine with you?
No,
you?
It's not.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I like that approach. But
no, I think we need to take the temperature of the council, and if there are three members of the council that are needing that information, I think we should do it. If there's not, we shouldn't. I'm very sensitive to the workload that we're asking the staff to undertake. They are in a particularly overworked state right now, and I'm prepared today to make a motion. And if the rest of the council is not, that's fine. They should do the work. But if there are
a couple
of us that don't think that we should waste the staff's time, I think we ought to do that.
I promise we'll take a temperature. I promise.
I might make, again, Tom Rask for the appellant here. In deciding what to do here, I guess what I would stress with the council is remember, as Commissioner Fritz, you adequately pointed out, the burden is on the applicant. We're here today, and we spent a lot of time and effort.
So is this a process? I don't want to get back into your summary close. Is this are you okay with the suggested 2, 2, and 2?
Well, my struggle is that this is supposed to be done during this process. They started in November, so I think for the record, we are opposed to leaving the record open for anything further.
We kept the record open, Mayor, at the request of your staff so we could do exactly what we're doing today, answer questions and put new facts into the record. That's why there's no clock.
So I'm going to take the poll of council.
May I just ask a clarifying question from the city attorney? If the applicant asks us to keep the record open, do we have to keep the record open?
No, this is at the discretion of the council.
Thank you.
So let's take a poll. We know Commissioner Leonard is a no. Is that accurate? Okay. You are I would like comments on the 2, 2, and 2.
I like the idea of the 2, 2, and 2, if that's all you're asking. Yeah.
For the moment, yeah.
I think there's been a lot of time and effort on all parties put into this, and so I'd like to hear the additional comments on what has been said today and what may be put in the record. So I'm in favor of the 2, 2, and 2.
So I'm in favor of the 2, 2, and 2 as well. So Catherine, your advice on exactly what I'm supposed to do at this point?
This is the way I understand it would work. What the council would be doing would be holding the record open for the submission of additional evidence for 2 weeks. And evidence would need to be submitted by 5 p.m. on July 20th. That's evidence in any form, whether it's written, snail
July
mail, email.
I'm sorry, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Today's the 13th.
13th plus 14 is 27.
Okay.
You said 24.
I'm sorry, I meant 27.
Right.
So evidence would be submitted by 5 p.m. on July 27th. staff would have 2 weeks to analyze the evidence that had been submitted, to respond to council's questions, and submit any recommendations staff has based on what was submitted during the first period. And staff would have until 5 p.m. on August 10th. Council would then, all parties would have 2 weeks to rebut staff's recommendations and any evidence submitted during the initial two-week period, and that would take us to 5 p.m. on August 24th. The council would convene perhaps the following week, which would be August 31st, and we'd need to set a time with Carla.
Do you have a time, Carla?
To engage in tentative decision-making.
2 p.m. on August 31st.
Okay. 2 p.m. on August 31st. So as of 5 p.m. on August 24th, when the end of the rebuttal period, the evidentiary record would be closed. It would then be council decision-making and discussion on August 31st at 2 p.m.
Okay. So,
Carla, are we all here on the 31st?
We are.
Okay. So that is the direction we're headed. Is there anything else I need to do before I lower the gavel?
I had just
This is continued until August 31st at 2 p.m.
And I had mentioned to neighbors who had written that although I couldn't comment on the contents of their comments, that I shared some concern about not having this hearing during the day rather than the evening when more neighbors could come. I think given the amount of time that the record is being left open for written comments, hopefully will not be a four-hour hearing again next time, so that I'm not requesting to have an evening hearing, but I do encourage everybody to participate.
All right. That is where we land. We are adjourned.
Randy, do you have a second?
Yes.
I just want to grab it. Can I grab him for 1 minute?